If you could open your Bibles again to that portion of scripture we read in the first book of Samuel, chapter number 22, we'll take our text from verse number 1 and 2 this evening. And can I just say I'm very thankful to be with you here tonight and thankful for the opportunity to come and speak to you this evening. And it's my desire tonight to bring a very simple gospel message. And the gospel is so simple, isn't it, and timeless, and we need it in our day and age. We've always needed the gospel. And I trust and I hope that you'll never grow tired of hearing the gospel. No matter how long you've been a Christian, the gospel is wonderful news to everyone here tonight. And I pray that the Lord will bless. But I'd like to look at an account that we find here of David at the cave Adullam. And this might seem to some people a very strange text to read. From the previous verses, you might be wondering why I've read or chosen these verses for a gospel message. But I believe here we find a wonderful picture of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that He has done for us, and all that He will do for us. And I trust that it will be an encouragement to you tonight. Can I say tonight, if you're here and you're without Christ tonight, this message is for you. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other Savior that can save you from sin except Christ and Christ alone. There's no other one. And tonight, that's the message that we need to hear. Let's just pray briefly and ask the Lord to bless as we look at His Word. Could we? Father, we pause again and we need Thee at this time. Lord, there are maybe people here tonight who do not know Thee, who are lost, and they're on the road to destruction. Lord, Thou art the only one who can open their eyes. Thou art the only one who can show them Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, tonight that Thy Spirit would do that. And we pray that You would enable the speaker. And Father, I pray that it would not be the words of a man, but the words directly coming from Thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to just draw your attention to this few verses here. And if you're familiar with the story of David here, he is on the run, isn't he? And if you have read through the book of 1 Samuel, you'll know that David has been anointed as the king of Israel. And the Bible tells us that Saul had offended the Lord. He had tried to do something that God had not called him to do. And the kingdom, the Bible says in the 15th chapter of this passage, that the kingdom had been rent from Saul's hands. And no longer was the kingdom any more Saul's, but the Lord said He would give it to another. And another person that He would give it to was one that would be better than Saul. One that the Lord had chosen, because the Lord was looking for a man after His own heart. Well, I believe that David here is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, you find in the chapters previous to this, in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, you find when David comes and is anointed, and in 1 Samuel and chapter 15, and he comes and he's anointed by Samuel, and chapter 16. And in fact, Samuel, he goes, doesn't he, if you know the story, and he goes to see Jesse, and he goes through all his sons, and every son he goes through, he says, surely this must be the one. And every time the Lord says no. And it comes to the final son. There's one last son, and that son is David, isn't it? And David, we read, was one who was unexpected. Nobody expected David to be that one that God had chosen. The Bible says that he was young, that he was ruddy, and he was good to look upon. But this was one that nobody else expected. He wasn't strong on the outside as maybe his brothers were. He wasn't a man of war. He wasn't somebody who they thought that would be their deliverer. But David was somebody who was so humble, as it were, just a shepherd boy. And can I tell you tonight, that's our Savior too in His person here on this earth. When He came, He didn't come with great pomp and ceremony, did He? He came in humility. He came with a humble attitude. He came giving up the glories, as it were, of heaven and humbled Himself and became a man, even a man obedient unto the death of the cross. That's our Savior that we have to present to you tonight in the gospel. He was a humble man. And just like David, so was the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. Well, He was anointed, and the Bible says in verse 13 of chapter 16 that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him. This would be God's man. And then you read in the next chapter that David defeats Goliath, don't you? And it says in the next chapter after that, sorry to give you so many references this evening, but Saul eyed him from that day. He said, this is somebody I must watch. In fact, we find throughout the scriptures that there were many attempts of Saul to take out David and to take his life from him. And every attempt failed because the Lord was with David. And just like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, many rejected him, didn't they? But the Lord was with him. Well, we come in our text and there's been another plot. And so David is on the run and he's run far away from Saul and he's escaped, the Bible says in verse number 1, and come to the cave Adullam. I want us to look at a few things in this passage tonight and to see a picture of our Savior. Firstly, I want us to notice just the first word. It says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to cave Adullam. David was God's anointed man. And can I tell you tonight, there was only one person that God has anointed to be his Savior, isn't there? Only one, and it's Jesus Christ. It says in the book of Acts, the Lord Jesus Christ was a man approved unto God. God hasn't said that about anybody else here this evening. He hasn't said that about any other men of the Bible. But there was something different about the Lord Jesus Christ, was that he was approved of God to be the Savior that would bring about salvation. You can look in the world's religions today, if you're here, as not as a believer today, and you can look around at the prophets of other religions and the men of other religions, but there's a difference, isn't there? Because with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's approved unto God. He's somebody who God has put his stamp of approval on. This is my son. We find that many times in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was baptized or when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father said from heaven, this is my well-beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This was God's man. And just like David was God's man to be the next king, so is the Lord Jesus Christ, a greater than David, a Savior, one who would bring about salvation. We read in the Bible that Jesus Christ, in him dwelt the Godhead bodily. You think about that tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ was not just any man, but he was fully God, as we've just sang in our first hymn. And can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Jesus Christ, our Savior, was fully God. He had God's complete person upon him. It says in the first couple of books of the Bible, in the first part of the New Testament, that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one by whom all things consist. Everything was upheld by his power. Everything that was because of him. And in fact, in the first book of John, it tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ was one who came into the world, and yet the world knew him not, even though he made the world. This is our Savior. This is the one. And just like David was God's man, but David was rejected. And can I tell you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ has been rejected by the world, has been disowned by the world, has been turned away by the world. And many people don't want him, do they? Many people in Ashford tonight don't want Jesus Christ. Many people don't want him. But I wonder tonight, can I ask you a question, a very personal question? What about you? Have you rejected Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? He came to his own, and his own received him not. The Bible says in Isaiah in chapter 53, he is despised and rejected of men. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, men did not want him. The religious people of that day did not want him. They rejected him. Even his own people he came to, they received him not. Oh, just like David was rejected and persecuted and chased away, so was our Savior tonight. He was rejected. And in the very place he should have been, in the very rightful place he should have had, there was no place found for him. Oh, this is the work of the gospel, that Jesus Christ would come to a world but yet be rejected. But I ask you again tonight in the gospel, have you rejected him? Have you turned your heart away from the Lord tonight? Oh, maybe you've heard the gospel many times and many years and you put on the right show and you know the things to say. But have you truly been born again? Have you truly come to the Savior tonight? Oh, my friends, David was that one who was anointed. He was the one that God had approved. But yet he was rejected. And he had to escape to the cave of Adullam. Now this cave of Adullam, the word Adullam means a place of justice or the justice of the people. And so you have the idea that when people came to this cave, that they would come with their problems. And that they would come with their struggles and their trials, and they wouldn't be able to find the answer to their struggles and their trials and the right thing to do in the world or around them, but they would find it at Cave Adullam. They couldn't go to Saul and find their help. They couldn't go to the people of Israel and find their help. No, truly, these people had to go to the Cave Adullam. There was only one place they could go. And they came, and the Bible says in verse number 1, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. They came with all their force. Can I tell you tonight, when the Lord Jesus has been uplifted, and when he's been told that he is there, he can deal with problems, can I tell you, the Bible tells me when Jesus Christ is uplifted, he'll draw men to himself. And so as a preacher tonight in the gospel, I've got no concerns or worries as such on me, because as long as I uplift Christ and the Lord is working, he'll draw people to himself. Oh, my friends, this was a place where people would come, and they would come and they'd know where to find him. It would be a place of refuge. It would be a place where people would find security and help and safety, and they would come. And look in our text in verse number 2, look at the type of people who would come. Oh, was it the royals of the day? I don't think Saul was marching to Cave Adullam, was he? Well, he probably did, but he didn't want to come for that reason. It wasn't the people who had all the money or had all the issues. It wasn't the religious people. Look in verse number 2, who was it that came to David at Cave Adullam? It was everyone that was in distress. It was everyone that was in debt. It was everyone that was discontented. These were people who were broken, who had nothing, who had no help in this world. They were in distress. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know which way to turn. They didn't know which place to go. They were in debt. They had no means to pay. They were poor. They had nothing to offer. And they were discontented. That word discontented in my Bible here means bitterness of soul. They didn't know what to do. And my friends tonight, can I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for people who are in that position. Oh, he didn't come to call the righteous. He didn't come to call those who thought they knew everything and everything sorted. But he came for those in distress and debt-worthy and discontented. He came for the lowest of men. He came for those who couldn't help themselves. What did he say? I came not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. I came not, as the physician, he says, I came not to heal those who have no need of a physician, but have come to heal the sick. Oh, and here was David, in that cave of Adullam, in this place of justice, there, hiding away, rejected. Oh, but the people that came, they came to him. Can I tell you tonight, the same Savior from that line, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not in a cave. He's in heaven now. There was no cave that he was in. He was on a cross and he died and he was buried and he was put in a tomb. But that same David's line, that same Savior, Jesus Christ, is now in heaven, lifted up and high, and he's there still able to deal with those in the lowest situations. Those who have nothing in this world, those who are in distress and debt, maybe not physically, but over their sin, who know not which way to turn. Oh, my friend, tonight, it doesn't matter if you're the oldest here or the youngest. Jesus Christ can deal with your situation. It doesn't matter, my friends, if you're here and you feel the lowest in number. Oh, and you feel like no, you're unworthy. You cannot come. My friends, Jesus Christ deals with the most unloveliest of people. He deals with those discontented, those who are in distress, those who are in debt. And they came to him. And it says, they gathered themselves unto him in verse number 2. Oh, they came to David and they were going to be with David. They knew that this was the man. They were attracted to David. They knew David understood what it was to be rejected. They knew David knew what it was to be in distress and debt and discontent. Can I tell you tonight, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows what it is to go through what you go through. He knows the troubles of your soul. He knows the troubles of your sin. He knows the trials you're going through. He knows it all tonight. Nothing is hidden from him. Yet, my friends, you can still come and can find in Christ the great relief that they found. They came and they were discontented and they gathered themselves under him. They were willing to be associated with him. They were willing to say, this will be the man we'll follow. Oh, my friends, tonight in the gospel, if you're to be saved, if you're to be made right with God, you must be willing to associate with Jesus Christ and him only. There's no other savior. Men have the idea. You speak to them out today in the streets and on the doors, and they have the idea that they can have Jesus and somebody else. They can have Jesus and their religion too. But my friends, only Jesus Christ is the one that we can associate with tonight. Only Jesus Christ is the one who can deal with your sin and can deal with the need. What does it say? They gathered themselves under him and he became a captain over them. What a thought. This man not only was able to help them, but he took them in and he became their leader and their ruler. He became the one that would order their lives, who would help them and lead them. And can I tell you tonight, when you come to Christ, when you give him your life, when you trust in him as your savior, you're making him to be, as it were, the captain of your life, the Lord of your life. There are many Christians today who do not allow the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of their life. But when you come to Christ, when you find him to be your savior, he becomes the captain of your life, the one that controls, the one that leads. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells me, it tells me that he became the captain of our salvation, bringing many sons to glory. Oh, my friends, David was one that probably stood for his men. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it tell us in the gospel? He became poor. Though he was rich, he became poor. He had nothing. And he died on the cross. He came willing to die. What does it say in the Gospels? He said, not my will, but thine be done. My friend, the Lord Jesus was willing. He submitted himself completely to God, completely to the Father's plan, completely to God's way of salvation. He knew there was no other way for mankind to be made right with him. And he completed himself, submitted himself completely to it. And through his death and his burial and his resurrection tonight, he's brought many sons into glory. Oh, my friend, he took your sin. He took all the things that you and I have ever done, all the things that we've offended God with, and he died for them on the cross. And he took our place, and he took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. As the hymn says, he took it all. Oh, that we then could be given his righteousness, that we could then be made right with him. Oh, have you come to Christ tonight? He became the captain over them, David did. But Jesus Christ too came for these people. In the prophecy of Isaiah, and the Lord Jesus quoted from this when he was on the earth, Isaiah 61, this is a prophecy of Christ. And he said these very words in Isaiah in chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he have anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That's what Christ came to do. He didn't come for those, as we said earlier, who were full of themselves. He came for the empty. He came for the brokenhearted. Oh, when we go to the pages of the Gospels, where do we find the Lord Jesus spending his time with? The broken men. The men who had nothing. The men who were empty, the men who were the outcasts, the lepers and the vile people, the women who had committed terrible sins, he was spending time with them. And that's who he came for. Not only did he come for them, but he came to rescue them, didn't he? He came and he died on that cross. Oh, I wonder tonight in the gospel, have you come to Christ? Have you believed on Christ? Have you received him? Have you asked him to be your Lord and your Savior? Have you believed on him?
You know, we get it so confusing sometimes, don't we? But the Bible tells me, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, tonight in the gospel, if you'll call on Christ, if you'll take him at his word, that he came for you, that he died on the cross for you, my friend, he'll save you tonight. Will you come to him? Will you trust him? Oh, the gospel's clear. And it's been going out for centuries and generations, and it's still the same tonight. Will you come to Jesus Christ? Will you believe on him? Will you come? He's able. He's able. I used to sing a hymn as a child. It says, he is willing, able, waiting now to save. Simply trust him. That is all. Have you responded to Christ? Have you heard his voice saying to you, come to me? Oh, come to the Savior today. Believe on him. Trust him at his word. Take him at his word. He'll save you. And he will. And you can have your sins forgiven tonight. Oh yes, we are sinners. And we are on that road to destruction tonight. But Christ is able to save sinners. That's why he came into the world. To save sinners. Oh, trust him tonight. Believe on him. And you'll find in him all that's needed. All that you could ever need. He'll deal with those things. And the Lord Jesus Christ will keep you. And he'll keep you until eternity. He will not let you go. He says, to those that come to me, I will nowise cast out. Them that the Father have given me, none shall pluck them out of my hand. Oh, will you then not come? Respond to his word. Trust him tonight, and he'll save you. And he'll deal with your sin. And you can know for sure tonight it's been dealt with at the cross. Let's pray together. Father, we bow our heads and we say, what we've heard tonight from thy word is just the pure old gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for it. We thank thee, Lord, that it isn't something that we have done ourselves, or we would make a very big mess of it. We thank thee, Lord, it doesn't depend upon our keeping it either. Otherwise, Father, many of us here would not be here. We would not be Christians. But we thank thee, O Father, that our salvation is kept by thee. We thank thee, O Father, that salvation is of the Lord, that it is a work of thyself. But Lord, we do know and we hear from the pages of Scripture, Lord, thy desire for men to be made right with thee. O Father, please cause people to come to Christ tonight. Please speak to their soul and show them their great need of thee, and may they respond. And may they come. Oh, we pray even for the children here tonight, Lord. Make a foundation in their lives, even while they're young, Lord. Speak to them about thee, Lord. We know that you said in thy word, Lord Jesus, suffer the little children to come unto me. Oh, Father, please. May none be lost tonight, please. Have thy way amongst us and save. We pray. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.